Philippians 1. Philippians 1. I believe that's a word from the Lord. I'm going to try to just be still and just get through it. And for whatever reason, I've developed some stuff in series, but the Lord won't let me teach it right now. So we'll just see when and if I get a chance to do it. And so I think he's just trying to meet people, meet you where you're at. I think some of us, the devil done had us on the ropes. So he's trying to meet you where you're at. And some of that requires just flowing with the Spirit. Amen. Philippians 1, verse number 6. I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll see what the Lord got to say. You should take some notes today. I think it'll help you. Amen. Philippians 1, 6. You probably can quote it without even looking at it. It says, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's read it together. Read it up there because I got the NIV. Being confident. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ask for utterance and anointing in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. You can have your seat. So I want to try to develop this thought. I'll see. Sometimes it takes me a minute to develop my thoughts, but that's what happens when you try to follow God. But I want to develop this, try to develop this thought that you're not done yet. And I don't know who that's for. You shouldn't quit in this season. Amen. You shouldn't even be considering back to the world. The world is filthy and dirty, and them people, I say people, but it's really the spirits on people. They'll do anything. And they'll tell you anything. And you should never look at your life from the standpoint that I just want to stop. Now, I'm not saying you don't think that way sometimes, but you got to take control of your thoughts. Say, yes, I'm a believer. Believers know how to take care of their thoughts when they don't line up with the word of God, because everybody gets exhausted sometimes. You ever been exhausted? What about discouraged? Amen. And sometimes you can just be unsure about your own life. You can be in seasons of your life where you're just unsure about the direction. And I caution people all the time, when you don't know what God's doing, don't do nothing different. You see what I'm saying? So you don't make huge changes in your life without clear direction, because most of the time you're going to make a mistake, and it'll cost you a whole bunch to try to get back to that point. So you don't overreact in situations where all you have to do is just give it a little time and give it a little faith and believe God. Say, I trust in God. Give it a little time, give it a little faith, trust in God, right? And do you know you can be real with God? A lot of times church people won't let you be real. A lot of times churches won't let you be real. But and that's okay. God will let you be real. They just represent God. They not God. Amen or oh my. Just because the person representing God don't believe whatever in you, that don't mean that God don't. And this is what Paul is talking about to these Philippian folks. You going through, you exhausted, you discouraged. And definitely, like, let me just deal with exhaustion. You gotta know when to rest, and then you gotta know when to give up stuff. Not kingdom stuff. Because a lot of time people want to rest on God time. Not kingdom stuff. I'm talking about, you know, you doing too much overtime. You got too many jobs. You got a regular job, part-time job, and 15 hustles. You got to give up some stuff. Unless the kid is in high school, they don't have to play an extra activity, after school activity, all throughout the year. They ain't got to go to 50 different things. These parents don't like that. That boy ain't got to go from that and this end and then that end and then this end and then that end. And you got to be there. And now you're exhausted. Can you get tired sitting in a place doing nothing? That's your fault. I'm going to help you. That's your fault. Because you're doing too much with the time you got. The key, one of the best keys that I think you can give a person in this life, Brianna, is that if you can't do it, whatever you selected, if you can't do it all within your own power, you're doing too much. So you don't get to pull her into your stuff because you chose that. The fact that you got to pull her into it means that you're doing too much. Mm-hmm. Even serving in ministry, can you be doing too much? I'm going to get back to it. I ain't lost. You can be doing way too much. So I told him, hey, narrow your stuff down to two things that you like to do in ministry. Just because the keyboard empty or the hammer is empty, you already serving in one area and you don't even like playing no more. You ain't got to play it. Amen. Just leave it open to God and believe God to send somebody to it. We're going to get strong up in this place before you leave today, I'm telling you. But you ain't got to. What if you ushering and you dancing and you soundboarding and you doing in six other things? Those things are extra. So the point being is that if you're doing them things, you're still supposed to be at church on Wednesday and Sunday because you signed up for that first. You don't get to practice on Tuesday and miss on Wednesday. You don't get to practice on Saturday and don't come on Sunday. You signed up for Wednesday and Sunday first. And you knew you was working. And you knew you had kids. And you knew you was trying to go to college. But you ain't done yet, all right? So God said to tell some people today that's exhausted. And the devil whispered in your ear, it's over. You're older now. You're more mature now. I don't like to say call people old no more. I say vintage. When I was young, I'd say they old. As I'm starting getting older, I say vintage. Like a Cadillac, you understand? Still hold your value. But he said to tell some people that you're not done. That your story is still being written. Ain't nobody threw dirt on your face. You don't get to quit with time on the clock. You don't get to quit with time on the clock. Your story is still being written. Your purpose is still unfolding. How do I know that to be true? Colonel Sanders became a multimillionaire at the age of 60-something frying chicken. Now, there are folks around him who told him, boy, you missing your purpose. You getting too old. You need to prepare for the grave. And God was saying, you're not done yet, boy. Go pitch your ideal and fry that chicken out the trunk, and I'm going to show you what I can really do for you in a short period of time. That's what God is getting ready to do for some of you, show you what he can do in a short period of time. Say, I'm not done yet. And the difficulty that you see right now, he's saying you're not done. You're older, but you're not done. You've been through some lumps and some bruises, but you're not done yet. You done been through a divorce, you're not done yet. You've seen opportunities that was once to you. You messed it up, but God gonna give you another opportunity to do some things because you not done yet. You messed the business up, that's okay. God got 1,000 ideas that people ain't never put to practice. With one idea, it can change your whole life. Shout, I ain't done yet 3 times. He got something new for you. Mm-hmm. See, this is for people also that you have not been able to move past your last failure. You put all your hope. Now, he done told you in Ecclesiastes to cast your things upon many, diversify. Meaning that I don't put everything into one basket. I don't define myself. So like a lot of time preachers, if they church, listen to me, look this way. You'll find preachers, if they church shut down, they'll backslide. Because they let people define them by preaching. There are people that commit suicide because they get kicked out the military. Because they define themselves as a career soldier. But I'm not going to be defined by my career. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. If you take everything from me, I'm still going to run for the kingdom. Because everybody shout, God not done yet. He not done yet. And as long as you got that idea in your spirit that God is not done yet, there's hope for your future. But if you think you done, you cancel your future. See, the most important thing that you have as far as your time, I shared this with the brothers on this past Monday, or Thursday, whenever it was. I shared with the brothers, I said, the most important thing that you have with your time is your present. So you shouldn't be looking back to your past failures, because yesterday is gone. I can take the experience from my past failures, but I'm not going to be defined by my past failures, because my past failures was associated with me not, in many cases, not knowing something. That's why it failed. But I don't worry about my future as much, because if I die in my present, then that cancels my future. So the most important thing that you have for you, you got to preserve your right now. And that's why God says he's a right now God. Now faith. You got to live in the now. Forget about the stuff that you screwed up in the past. And then you press towards, you reach for it, you strain towards your future, but you don't ignore where you're sitting at in your present. But I want to tell somebody else, you can look around, because your present really ain't as bad as you talking it. There are other people in worse conditions than you, worse marital situations than you, worse health challenges than you, and you up here talking about how bad your life, and God say you functioning at 90%, and you crying over the 90, over the 10%. Your life ain't that bad. All you got to do is get up and get going. Say, I'm not done yet. And that's why Isaiah said, Isaiah 43:18, he says this. He says, forget the former, forget the previous things. Don't dwell in the past. Then he goes on to say, see, I'm doing a new thing. Say, God is doing a new thing. And that's what he's saying to tell somebody today. Everything you've been through has been for a good cause, good or bad. But God says, I'm getting ready to do something new in your life. Something that you didn't even see for yourself. Something that you don't even think you deserve. But God said, I want it for you. Have you ever blessed somebody and they say, I don't even deserve this? Yeah, but I want you to have it. Your kids was bad. You knew they was bad, but you still wanted to be good to them. God is a good father. He wants to be good to me. Say, be good to me, God. So he's saying, I want you to start moving forward by faith. Say that, I'm going to move forward by faith. Three times. Sick in my body, but I'm going to move forward by faith. Struggling with depression, but I'm going to move forward by faith. People walk off and left me stranded, but I'm going to move forward by faith. Lost the house, I'm going to move forward by faith. Lost the car, I'm not going to, got fired from a job. Whatever the problem may be, it don't make no difference by God. God is the incredible God. He can do incredible things. Why don't you let God be incredible to you? Yeah, they left you, whatever the case may be. That ain't the only woman on the planet. That ain't the only man on the planet. That's 8 billion people on the planet. You know, live the holy life and then say, God, can I please have another? Excuse me, Lord, can I have another? Good. I like to have another. But they ain't gonna sit around crying over somebody who left me, and they was the perpetrator. A lot of times they be the perpetrator, and then they leave, and we crying over them, and they be like, "Boy, bye. Don't take nothing up out of here. Don't belong to you." So I'm not done yet. So how do you get past setbacks? A lot of times people think it's just great soul-stirring preaching. No, dude. That'll help you in that moment. You leaving in an hour. Now what you gonna do? Put that thing back, take that thing off, put it on that stand, put that bun on your head. Look at somebody and say, don't wear them things in public. Because you be looking crazy. I'm gonna help you. Don't wear that junk in public. Especially if you're single. Because you be looking ate up. But you're only here for an hour. You don't want to do a setback? You got a good shout in? Now what? And we settle for that. And it make us feel good in the moment. See, this is the problem with most Americans. They don't have no control over what they feel in the moment. If it feel good in the moment, they just go for it. But you got to be able to live past the moment. And then what is that moment going to cost me? So when you got a setback, that ain't the only thing you can do. That's a part of it. You want to praise God. God will get in the room. You want to do some of these things. You done had loss in your life. I've seen people just, they stop. I've seen people basically stop living when somebody died. You doing yourself a huge disservice and you doing them not a favor at all. Especially if they was really saved. They don't want to come back to you. They got Jesus. They're in the arm of Jesus. I'm being your arm or Jesus' arm. Ain't nobody coming back to you. They don't want to come back. They got their reward, right? So when you're in these places, you got difficulty, you got life, a loss in your life, what do you have to do? You have to make an assessment. You got to look at everything you do, look at what you're accessing, and then you look at what you have to do and figure out, how am I going to get there? You're going to do it this way. Assurance in God is knowing that we're not done. No matter what we've done. My assurance is, if I got life in my body, God not done yet. Amen. India, the only reason why you are breathing right now, because God got purpose for you. If God didn't have purpose for you, then when you did something wrong, he could just snatch you out the earth. And this do happen when people refuse to do it. Am I telling the truth or not? I know I'm telling the truth. He was about to cancel Jonah. Because Jonah didn't want to evangelize no more. He didn't like them people, and they didn't like him. And Jonah, he didn't say it in the Bible, but I know what he was thinking. I can't say it in church, but I know what he was thinking. And Jonah like, I ain't preaching to him, send somebody else. And God says, okay, all right. He got on that boat. You remember the story? He gets on that boat and they threw him off. Jonah said, the storm is because of me, this and that. See, sometimes people around you are running from God's purpose and you too close to them. And that's why you got a storm, and that storm didn't have nothing to do with you. And he owned his own business. And Jonah said, throw me off the boat. This ain't got nothing to do. When they threw him off the boat, the storm ceased. Tell somebody, say, check out your ride or dies. If you in a storm and you say, hey, this ain't got nothing to do with me, I shouldn't be going through this, check out who you riding with. Uh-huh. And Jonah say, throw me off the boat. And they throws Jonah off the boat. The whale swallows Jonah. And the whale, the belly of the whale represents Jonah, a type of hell. It represents him. God was canceling Jonah. And when you read that first chapter, he began to tell Jonah, basically you're not getting up out of here until you confess that salvation is of the Lord. And when Jonah realized that when I want to do what God want to do through my life, he spit him out in his purpose. See, some of you want to quit, but God your life has been like a living hell, but God getting ready to spit you in your purpose. You should come into agreement with God. And when you come into agreement with God, that's the only reason why you're still alive. I've seen people try to commit suicide multiple times. Nothing happened from them. You know what's really going on? They was running from their purpose. I've seen people shoot themselves in the head, and ain't nothing wrong with them today. You hear what I'm saying? Because God had a purpose for them to be alive, and a bullet couldn't kill them. You survived the car wreck because God got a purpose for you. You survived whatever the treatment plan was because God got a purpose for you. You are all this depression where you want to harm yourself and you couldn't and you didn't and you wouldn't because God got a purpose for your life and he is spitting you back in your purpose. You should walk therein. Say, I'm going to walk therein. I'm going to walk therein. And it may be hard because sometimes what God has chosen for us is not this soft Santa Claus God and purpose for our life. God sometimes put us in a tough purpose because you got so much power in you. You got such an anointing on your life. You got such an anointing on your life that God say, you can't be in something easy. That anointing is a waste except where I put you at. And do what I called you to do. Tell somebody, say, God not done with me yet. So somebody ought to give God a praise right there. He ain't done with you. You quitting on yourself. You quitting on God. And God has said, no, baby, you got too much in life. You done planned it. You done saw what I want to do for you. Don't get confused in the middle. Somebody ought to give God a praise. Don't get confused in the middle. You got a lot ahead of you. You got a lot to live for. You're not done yet. Let's keep going with this thing. So you don't get caught up in that. Your assurance is that God is for me. No matter what happened. Don't matter how you got there. It don't care. It don't even make no difference how many times you did it or you didn't do it. You can still do this. God got purpose for you. Hallelujah. Now, people will try to cancel it. So you got to be careful. Because the way our culture is wired is they're not always forgiving. And even when they do forget, they get forgive, they don't forget. So now they forgive you, but they suspect about everything about your life. This is why it makes it so difficult for our brothers when they come out of incarceration. They have been rehabilitated, but then the culture, if I paid my dues, then erase it. Right. Amen, oh my. Amen. If my sentence was 10 years and I did my 10 years, don't give no track record. Don't put people on notice about who I used to be because that's not me no more. I paid my dues. But it's really to take that man's and that woman's purpose for them. Gonna cancel loans, gonna cancel job opportunities, gonna cancel this, gonna cancel that, because the other man gonna honor this man and he don't even know what happened. Because he ain't got a brain in his head. But say, God know me from my beginning. When I was in your mama's womb, God knew who you was. He knew the mistakes that you was going to have. He knew the setbacks that you was going to have. He knew the people who was going to die, when they was going to die, what they were supposed to do. And if they had anything to do left, you know what would be happening? They'd still be breathing. The fact that they not here means they done everything for you in this life they were supposed to do. Shout, let them go 3 times. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Do it again. Say, let them go. Let them go. And they don't owe you nothing. They did everything they're supposed to do for you. And when they ran their race and they was done, God said, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. Welcome home. You done did a good. I know it got tough for you sometime. I know you messed up. I know people still judging you in the earth right now, but I'm pleased with you. Come on home, my good. Because some people you don't think going to be there, they're going to be there. I say some people you don't think going to be there, don't be there. Because the church done sent people to hell for smoking cigarettes. Ain't no cigarettes going to send you no hell. You're going to smell like you've been to hell, but you ain't got to go to hell because you smoke a cigarette. Don't smoke no cigarettes, though. And they're going to send them to hell because they smoke the reef. The reef ain't going to send you no hell, but it'll make you smell like a pothead. Don't be no pothead, but I'm going to tell you there's going to be some people there that you don't think supposed to be there. Because they got right with God and they was kind to people and they didn't have murder in their heart and they didn't have envy in their heart and they weren't dealing with a spirit of lust and they weren't a murderer. You understand that? But all the stuff that we deal with in here, they weren't dealing with that. They had an alcohol problem and they was peeing that out in the draw. But the stuff that was in them, send people to hell, it's in your heart. And God used them the way he wanted to use them. Can God use you? Say, God not done yet. So Paul was telling these people when he was praying, Paul said, I have confidence in you. Yeah. If you ever been in a place in your life where you just needed somebody to believe in you. Mm-hmm. You needed somebody to believe in you. And oftentimes this is why people separate from their own personal families, because God has put something in them and then they're trying to give it out and they can look at you and they know you don't believe in them. And the whole time, you don't have the confidence. You see a person with low self-esteem, that's because they, over their life, people have put them down and nobody believed in them. But God wants you to believe in you. You created in his image. You created in his light. You know, let me just say this before I go on any further, because there's some people who want to do hair up in here. And somebody, it just showed up in my little feed the other day, and the woman was selling $15,000. Seven booths, big mirrors, wash sinks, brand new stuff. I guess she's just getting up out of it, or she done made all the cash she need to make. And she was selling all that stuff for $15,000. And said a person can assume the lease, or they could rent a chair out for her for $125 a week. Until she sold it. Now, I don't know who that's for. But I'm saying sometimes God presents us with opportunities, but we don't believe in ourselves. God believes in you. I believe in you. Shout, I'm more than a conqueror. Say it until you believe it for your own self. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. And all kind of stuff that came up against me, but I'm still going to win. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Sickness ain't going to defeat me. Death ain't going to defeat me. Poverty ain't going to defeat me. Loneliness ain't going to defeat me. Depression ain't going to defeat me. Divorce ain't going to defeat me. I'm more than a conqueror. But you got to have some confidence in yourself and in God. That what God started in you, he's able to bring it to completion. See, the only thing is not human effort alone. Human effort alone, no faith is involved in that. So what that does, Pastor Jack, it don't mean that you can't be an accomplished person, but without faith, it limits you. You better hear what I'm saying. If that's why Paul said, if a person can see something, you ain't got to believe it. But if you don't see it, then you got to believe for it. You got to put some faith out there. How many of y'all, raise your hand if you believe I'm preaching to you. Look at all them hands, co-pastor. They believe I'm preaching to you. You don't have to believe I'm preaching to you. You see me preaching to you. You hear I'm preaching to you. They raise their hand. I believe he preaching. You know I'm preaching to you. But if you see it, you don't have to believe for it. But if you don't see it, then you have to believe for it. You got to put some faith out. You got to move forward by faith, and it takes the limits off. God getting ready to take the limits off of some of your life. Shall take the limits off. Take the limits off. You've been restricted because you've been doing everything in your power, and you got what you put in, but it didn't give you what God wanted you to have. Shall, I'm going to take the limits off. Come on, shout it. I'm going to take the limits off. I'm going to take the limits off. I'm not going to let society limit me. I'm not going to let church people limit me. I'm not going to let my past limit me. I'm not going to let you limit me. Whatever you want, whatever, that's your business. Shout, I'm going to take the limits off, Lord. I'm going to take the limits off. I'm not going to be scared to move forward by faith. We, the just, live by faith. The righteous people live by faith. But when a person ain't righteous, they'll look for other avenues to try to get to where only the Spirit can take them. You better hear what I'm saying. When they're not functioning in righteousness, see, that's a core problem. That's a problem in them already. But the real reason is they'll try to do it through some other undermining. That's why you have people that are swindle people and cheat people and lie to people. Even do business with a Christian and then undermine them. Why? Because they're trying to get through the top by unrighteousness. I'm telling somebody else, you're never going to get to the top using unrighteous methods and tactics. No, your job, believer, is to take the limits on by faith and step up in God and step up in God and step up in God. But then when I walk by faith and not by sight, God will give me what I couldn't see and what I could only see by the realm of the Spirit. You better hear what I'm saying. God will give you what you couldn't see in the natural, and you could only see it in the realm of the Spirit. Say, God not done yet. Shout, God not done yet. Don't throw me awake. Say, God not done yet. I know I done messed up, but God not done yet. I didn't get it all done, but God not done yet. And if you'll get this in you, you'll see what God is really trying to do in your life. And why the devil fight you so hard? Everybody's storms ain't the same. Some storms are aggressive. And if it's demonic, you say, man, what the devil fight me like this for? What am I? And here's the thing. He got limited resources. That's why the emphasis was on, watch this, a third of the angels. He's limited. So he don't waste no time on you if you ain't close to nothing. No point. If you traveling for the fight, towards the fight, you ain't at the fight yet, so I ain't got to get over there yet. But if you write up on something, then he gotta do like they're doing over there in Iraq right now. Israel moved assets out of Gaza back over to the borders of Iran because they don't have the resources, they don't have the manpower. But I mean, know that the kingdom of God ain't limited by resources. He's not limited by anything. God will get it. I say God will get it to you. It comes back to, do you want it? Say, I want it real bad, God. So he said to tell somebody, no matter what's going on, he says, I'm confident that everything that I started in you, I'm going to be able to perform it. What is time to God? And it's amazing. People, they start getting older and they have promises in them. They don't even go for them no more. It's nothing wrong with encouraging younger people before you, but you still got life in you. But you can, why are you quitting for right now? You planning on going somewhere soon? No, keep on living. You keep on moving. You keep planning. You find a lot of time. See, this is why they doing all this stuff with these military people now. Because the old soldiers, most of the time they didn't live long once they retired. So retirement to the government was no problem because they figured 10, 15 years they're going to be dead anyway. But now these people don't figure it out. These young people don't figure it out. I can live. So they said, okay, which plan do you want when you sign up? Because they don't want to pay you until you another 50 years. So if the government got enough sense to know that you're going to live long, you should have confidence that God has life in you and God has a lot of life and you got a lot of time yet. So you get up every single day and you plan like you got a purpose. You get up and you walk like you got to go somewhere. You don't sit around and just fluff around and slouch around and whatever case and waste your time. No, say, I'm living on purpose. I'm living on purpose. My time is valuable to me. That's the best commodity that you have is your time. And you don't waste your time, especially with people who like to waste time. No, go waste your own time. Say, God, not done with me yet. So Philippians 4:13, this is the Amplified. Listen to this. Because God, when God says, I began a good work in you and I'm going to complete it, this is how you know that you're going to pull it off. He has pledged to help you complete it. He has made a pledge. I'm going to help you pull it off. Boy, I don't know who I'm talking to up here, but you're getting your strength back right now. God's going to help you pull it off. That's his pledge to you. And then he said, if you don't believe that, you stand in the mirror and take another deep breath. Take a deep breath, everybody. Let it out. That means you still got purpose in you. If you didn't have no purpose yet, you would have fell over. But so you still breathing. But he says, my pledge to you is so that you can have confidence in them. So Philippians 4:13 says this. He says, this is the Amplified. He says, I have strength. This is what Paul said. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm going to read it again. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. It says, I'm ready for and equal to everything through him. Boy, that's so good to me. I got to say that again. Shout this with me. Say, I'm ready for and equal to everything through him. Say, I'm ready for and equal to anything through him. Say, that makes, I'm unstoppable. You unstoppable. That's what he's really trying to tell you. Now, people will put all this stuff. See, carnal Christians always want to take everything back to the natural. Because they want to limit you. They don't realize that in many cases, but that's what they're doing. But Paul is saying, he says, I am ready for and I'm equal to, meaning that no matter what comes up against you, you at eye level with that thing. See, you keep looking up to the problem, and the devil like, look me in the eye. Why are you looking up there? I'm on your level. Now, this is important, and this is why you got to be in the fight, Deacon Dugan, because God won't fight for you because demons are not a comparable adversary for him. He'll empower you. You better hear what I'm saying. Even Satan, you only see Satan really challenge a couple people. If you're looking for Moses' body in Jesus personally, meaning that Satan don't even fight you personally. He was looking for Moses, tried to kill him. He was looking for Jesus, trying to kill him. He came to Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew 4, trying to get him out the will of God. And them, the only two people that physically walked the planet that he actually, and in the garden, he messed with them in the garden. But and that's because Adam was perfect. But everything else, you fighting a fallen angel or a demon that God is saying, that's at your level. You can handle them. Not only can you handle them, you can stomp them. When you get them down, stomp on the devil's head. He'll bruise your heel, but he says you can crush his head. He'll strike your heel once you get him on the ground, but you can crush his head. Don't let the devil back up when you get him down. Don't let him back in your life when you get him out. Don't open the door when God has closed the door. When you got the devil down, stomp on his head. Everybody just stomp on the devil one time. He's under your feet. He's not over you. He's under your feet. He's not over you. He's under your feet. He's not over you. And that means that you can handle with all that pressure that you said, I can't deal with this. I can't take this no more. God has said, he's at your level. Handle your business. And when you get him down, stomp on his head. He's at your level. I'm not coming down to fight that. You can handle that. Say, I'm not done yet. You can handle what you're running from. What you're refusing to deal with. It's not overwhelming you. It's harassing you. You know, that's a dumb bird to come outside my window every day. Sound like he's suffocating. And I'll be like, I can't even find him. So he got to be on top of the house someplace. I don't know where he at. But every day, this thing is just harassing me. Now, you imagine, watch this. They got a prison, and it's a maximum security prison in California someplace. And they were doing a special because they were saying that it was inhumane treatment to have them in there. They don't get no time out. When they go out, they get 15 minutes. They're by themselves. They don't have no human interaction. But that wasn't really the problem with them. The problem was is that the inmates were saying, watch this, the inmates were saying that their faucet kept dripping. The faucet was dripping, and they ain't got no TVs up in this place. And the drip was running them crazy. The whole point is, don't let the devil take your mind with a harassing drip. Get God involved and make it shut it down. Don't let him talk to you when you can handle him. Don't let him get in your mind when you can handle him. And it's these things. Watch this. A lot of time we make concessions and we concede without a fight. And God is saying, you can handle this. He needs you to be willing to handle it. Why? Because he's not done with you. You shout that three times. God ain't done with me. God is not done with me. God is... Well, he done with you, he'll receive you. He says, who infuses inner strength into me. And Paul says, I am sufficient. This is Philippians 4:3, just a different version. He says, I'm sufficient, self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiencies. I like how that read. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
So he's saying the sufficiency comes from God, and because God give me enough, now I'm self-sufficient in him. Are you following what I'm saying? So there's some things you don't run from, you run straight to it. And you handle your business. They handle your business. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, not that we are adequate in ourselves. I'm trying to give some people some confidence. I'm trying to give you some confidence because you've been dropping the ball because you think that, life is too hard for you. Child, you living, that makes you an overcomer. You born again, you an overcomer. Anything in this life, you can overcome. In this life, you'll have tribulations, but Christ says, I've overcome the world, and your sufficiency is of him. Amen. Amen. Your sufficiency is of him, and you're adequate to do it. Stop looking down on yourself. Stop frowning all the time. Stop acting up and deal with what's dealing with you. But Paul says, he says, not that we are adequate in ourselves, 2 Corinthians 3:5, he says, consider any as coming for ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Now that word adequacy is H-I-K-A-N-O-T-E-S. And it means what Paul was saying in Philippians 4. It means sufficiency. It means competency. It means ability. It means capacity, and it means fitness, meaning that you, a person that's fit usually has endurance. That's why Paul said, I can run my race. I'm going to give it to you again. H-I-K-A-N-O-T-E-S. It's sufficiency. It's competency. It's ability. Capacity and fitness. It means that when God moves in you, you are in a state of qualifications. You got the qualifications to live this out. You have the qualifications to not only somebody, you get the word from God or somebody prophesy to you what your purpose is. No, you can take it from words to reality. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how far you think you're behind. You got breath in your body still. And do it take God a long time to do it? No, it don't take God a long time to do it. It just takes us cooperating with him. Now, why is this important to some of us? Paul says in verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter. But how? Of the Spirit. Say of the Spirit 3 times. The letter kills. The Spirit gives you what? It gives you life. So he's what he's saying. God is telling somebody today, if nobody believes in you, I believe in you. Amen. Amen. If don't nobody compliment you, if don't nobody tell you nothing, God say, I believe in you. If nobody ever pats you on the back or tell you how great thou art, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm adequate. I can get it done. God is confident in you. Why? Because he's the author and finisher of your faith. God know what he started. It ain't like God starts a project and then he's trying to figure out what he's going to do with you. No, God. When God starts the project, he already know what your life's supposed to look like. And here's the point I want to tell somebody today. And you well on pace to do it. I've had a lot of setbacks and you still on pace to do it. I've had a lot of failures and you still on pace to do it. I've wasted a lot of time and you still on pace to do it. Why? Because God know when you was really going to do it in the first place. Some people see in your future and they're trying to tell you, and God said, they ain't finna do that right now. They ain't finna do that right now. They ain't finna do that. And then you get to a point in your life, God ain't changed your purpose. He said, okay, I don't care how much time you got on the clock, go for it, baby. That's what God is telling you today. No matter how much time you got left on the clock, shalama, go for it. Why? Because God ain't done with me yet. I don't care what people think about me at this, but the older you get, the more you really just, it ain't like you don't care. It just don't bother you. Because you start thinking about all the times where you let people have an impact in your life who meant you no good in the first place. So you start living like it ain't that you just dismissive of people, because God do use people. It just means that when I hear from God, I ain't worried about you. Right. Say, I believe in me because God believes in me. And he's involved in your purpose. So in other words, you ain't got to worry about anything. God will always be faithful. And he'll show faithfulness to his faithful people. That's why when you come, you have hard times, you don't just start soaking. When hard times hit your life, you don't just quit. I had to tell one of my sisters one time, she was almost about to lose her house. I'm like, how you about to lose your house? You've been faithful with money God gave you your whole life. You've given to people who ain't never gave to you. I said, how you about to lose your house? I said, it's impossible for you to lose your house. Because you show God you can be faithful over the least of things, God going to show you that he can be faithful to you. I said, tell them, jokers, what's going on? I ain't told nobody. I said, tell them. Done spent your money up, done tow your car up, done tow your house up. I said, tell them. And I said, within a week, you have the money. Within a week, she had all the money and said she needed to get caught up. I'm saying because when you faithful, when you a faithful servant, God will be faithful to you. No matter what the conditions are, God will make it favorable for you. And that's what he's trying to get you stirred up about. He wants you to have confidence, not only on your own self, but confidence in him that he is a good God. How many of you know, say amen to this? And he ain't finished with you. My time is about finished, though, so give me a second. Let me put this out. He says he's going to always be faithful to his people. Philippians 2 and 12. Let's read this. He's going to pay some of you back because you've been just so committed to God. You was committed to God when you was depressed. You missed no church. You was on your post. God going to honor all that stuff. You were sick. You still faithful. God going to honor all that. You was paying tithe and had nothing left over. All your bills was met. But you didn't have two pennies to rub together. And God is going to honor that. I don't know who I'm talking to up in this place. But you've been committed to God. When other people were not committed to God. And that's why God says, I ain't done with you yet. You may have quit on yourself, but I ain't going to quit on you. And I'm going, and God is going, he's stirring you. He's stirring up your spirit today to let you know to have confidence that he's going to come through for you. Somebody ought to say amen to this. Have some confidence that he's going to come through for you. But you was doing things when you was down in the dumps and you were still pushing through. Went through a divorce, went through an abandonment, went through rejection, and you were still committed to God and the kingdom of God. How much more is God going to be committed to you in this hour? I'm telling you, it's going to be a mind-blowing amount of commitment. And not only commitment, but he's going to show you the proof of what it means to serve a faithful God. Say, my God is faithful. He's going to show you what it means to serve a faithful God. He's going to come through. Watch and see. Say, I'm not done yet. Because God not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm going to give you this and then I'm going to stop. He says in Philippians 2. Are y'all getting anything? You had a destiny breakthrough moment whether you know it or not. You should come in agreement with it. You're in a destiny breakthrough moment right now that you should come in agreement with. Something that's going to really shift your life. I ain't talking about this. Everybody, one season, everybody was talking about shifting when nothing moving. I'm talking about God finna shift some stuff for you for real. This ain't for some conference. This ain't no conference. This real business right now. But he says in Philippians 2, are you there? Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, this is Paul talking to the Philippians, but much more in my absence. And then he says, work out your own soul salvation. with fear and trembling.
I'm trying to, that ain't my point, but I'm gonna make it with a point, okay? One of the worst things you can do as a believer is don't walk in fear of God. Like he's somebody to be played with. Because he is not. Amen. And walking in this fear, this reverence, this respect, but also knowing that God ain't somebody to be played with, it keeps you at a state of humility. No matter how big you get, and no matter how God, how good he is to you, you still humble. Amen. You still find a way to walk with meekness amongst men. Moses was blessed the way he was blessed by God, Sister Sims. And they said there was no man in the whole earth as meek as Moses was. Moses was so separated from his peers that God wouldn't even let other prophets bury him. Because Moses was a prophet. But he was so elevated above all the men in the earth. And God said, and he the meekest one. But he wouldn't even let the other, they couldn't even find his body. God said, I'm going to bury him myself. Well, you better hear what I'm saying. And it comes from when you have a fear of God. Like some things you shouldn't do and didn't come to church. Unless you're going to repent. Like certain things you don't do because you know that God ain't one to be played with. Some things you don't say because you know he ain't somebody to be played with. You don't even play with other people about God. Because he ain't somebody to be played with. And Paul is emphasizing this. He says, you're working out your own soul salvation. So when I was saying you're adequate, this is not eternal. He's talking to the church. These people are already saved. But salvation is inclusive of you going to heaven. But then there's some things in the earth you still need to be saved from. And he says, you got to work that out. Shall work it out. Shall work it out. And so what that means is that you got to put the truth of believing in God and in his presence. You got to practice it. You got to practice the truth that you hear. You got to believe that when God say, I'm not, this ain't got nothing to do with me. When God say, I'm not done with you, you got to grab that. I gotta do something for somebody in the city. Their theme is decree and declare. But what I've discovered through decreeing and declare that everybody not authorized to do that. Mm-hmm. Because a decree comes from God. And then he authorized certain people to declare it. So most of the time, let's just say, so like if it's a prophetic word, that person who receives it has to declare it. But if you ain't got no prayer life and God ain't talking to you like that, you need to be sitting under somebody who can decree and declare. Because it'll unlock. Boy, I got to go. But you got to get to the point to where he says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. We'll stop right there. It is God in you who gives you the will to carry out his purpose. This is why, like for me, he said to will and to do. I probably been mad sometime and want to quit, but like really, I wasn't really serious. But then there are people who just quit. Anybody ever acted out when you got upset? Anybody ever been upset with God? Yeah, you get upset with God sometimes. He tell you to apologize to somebody, you still don't like them. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But I ain't never really been serious. Because I understand I'm only living because of that. I mean, he only keeping me around because he got purpose for me. When God don't have no purpose for you, he just receive you. You here because you still got a whole lot in you. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch. So we say, I'm 35, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60. What is that? Do you know people are living well into I'm talking about strong, late 90s. Saw this black lady, 105. Right mind, sharp. My wife listened to this woman sing yesterday, 95. You would have thought you was listening to a woman. Her voice was so strong. You thought she's 45, 40 years old. What am I saying? God has preserved you because you got purpose. You should keep operating in it. God has kept you around because there's so much left in you to do. And the Holy Ghost gonna help you pull it off. Not by power, not by might, by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you gotta release your faith a little bit. Yeah. You gotta let go of some stuff too. There's a song this young man sing. I haven't heard it on the radio in a long time, but it just kind of dropped in my mind. And the chorus of the song, or the hook of the song, is, I forgive me. Some of us, you would go sprinting into your future if you would just learn how to forgive yourself. You made mistakes.